I'll stand behind this microphone because they like me to. Welcome to the workshop on starting an English conversation table. You can call it what you want. English conversation corner, conversation club, conversation partners, English conversation group, table, whatever you call it. This is the workshop that we want to talk about that. I'm going to show you you might have seen this short 2-minute video last night at the main session, but I'm going to show it to you one more time if you didn't see it. And I want you to pay specific attention to a Japanese girl that is...
Me, coming to America, I never really knew what to expect. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't meet my expectations.
How do I do this, Keller?
I have no idea.
Hold it.
Pause.
For pity's sakes. Just a minute. I'm going to close all of these. Just a second. Now let's see if it'll show. There we go. There we go. RISE is an acronym for Refugee and International Student Engagement.
Me, coming to America, I never really knew what to expect. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't meet my expectations.
You know? International students, when they arrive in our country, everything is new. When I came to the U.S., one of the struggles I had was just being lonely.
Just talk. No friends, no time. Just talk to me.
And when international students encounter that new kind of culture, they feel so alone, and they're so eager to meet someone that will just adopt them to be part of their family.
I spent the big Thanksgiving with him and his family.
All of the students that we hosted, that we develop long-term relationships with, call us mom and dad.
And what started as a future family, it now ends as a real family.
She opened her home up to me, and she is family to me right now. I wouldn't do anything for her, literally.
The average family has everything they need to be enriching out to international students. Your family has everything you need.
We spent 40 hours filming international students in Joplin, Missouri. And the resounding message was just, would you just talk to me? Would you just talk to me? We were in a coffee shop filming one afternoon, and we reserved a coffee shop until 5 o'clock. And somebody had reserved the coffee shop at 5 o'clock to propose to his girlfriend. So we had all this film equipment, all this stuff, and they kicked us out. And we didn't know where to go, so we went out into the alley behind the coffee shop in Joplin, where all the graffiti was sprayed on the wall. And we had this sweeper, Hiroko, from Japan, just sit on a chair, and I just said, tell me what you would say to an American family today. And that is what she said. Right there. She said,
Just talk to me.
Isn't that something? We have an acronym that we go by, the word SHARE. SHARE stands for smile, say hello, ask a question, really listen, and then enjoy the friendship. If you share with an international student, you're in the top 5% of people in the United States. Smile. Say hello. How's your school? Really listen and don't text while you're listening. And enjoy the friendship. We're really pleased. My name is Greg Swinney. I'm with Crossroads International Student Ministries and also the RISE Project. And this track of workshops on international students has been already so uplifting. And I'm really glad you're here. I know there are 30 other workshops you could have gone to right now, and you're here. So God bless you. Thank you for coming and spending the day with us. Am I supposed to stand behind the microphone?
No, I thought you say smile, the share one.
Oh,
We use the acronym SHARE, which is smile, say hello, ask a question, really listen, and enjoy the friendship. That puts you in the top 5% of people, because girls like this from Japan say, nobody even talks to me. Nobody even speaks with me. So these are really, really important things to remember. I'm really thrilled that the International Conference on Missions this year devoted a whole track of workshops aimed at international student outreach. This one is really practical on conversation tables or conversation corners, and we're real pleased to have Bob Gailey from Gainesville, Florida, where there are 6,000 international students, the University of Florida, right next to their campus house, and Keller Stem from Evansville, Indiana, where there's international students at the University of Evansville and University of Southern Indiana, USI at Evansville. And they've had some wonderful experiences. Keller kind of does things through a local church in some ways, and Bob does things through a campus ministry, and they really bring a lot to the table. For me, I just join in what the university's already doing and sit at a table with international students from 40 or 50 different countries and just talk about whatever comes to mind. So they're going to give us some practical ideas about this, and there will be plenty of time for questions and answers following that. But this is our session that Bob and Keller are going to walk us through how to start an English conversation corner or conversation table. Okay?
Do we have to stand back here?
Yeah, they want you to talk to this
right here.
Oh.
I told them you would be the wild card.
So I'm going to ask the question. And yeah, then I'll just, okay. We're really organized, you can see. But, okay, first of all, because we're going to kind of, we want to see where you all are at. How many of you all are college students? Okay. How many of you are maybe from a church, but you're close to a university campus? Okay. How many of you are from a church, but you're nowhere near a university campus? Okay. Cool. Well, we want to make sure that we kind of address all of that, and so we were waiting to hear that to see how we took things. But how we're gonna start out, we just wanna kind of share briefly like where our heart and our passion for reaching internationals came from, and then we're gonna get into the specifics. So I'm Keller. I'm currently the campus minister at the University of Southern Indiana for a group called Student Christian Fellowship. And I go to Crossroads Christian Church in Evansville and help to work with ministry there. So I started in campus ministry in 1998. And I was one of those people who, as long as I had my group of students, and we were on the ground in the United States, I was ready to go. And so the long story short is that over a process of probably 8 years, God kind of did this and went, no, you need to understand my heart so that you can have the heart that you need to have. I was the guy that when other people on our staff, when I was in North Carolina working with the campus ministry there, said, hey, we want to take students on a mission trip. I said, yeah, let's do it. And they said, we want to go to Haiti. And I said, great, you do it, because God isn't leading me to go somewhere else. And through reading some books, through the ICOM, God just really worked. And now not only do I like to lead students on mission trips to other places and mobilize them to go to other places, He's showing me how to mobilize students to reach out to the international students that have come to our campus. And now he's using me in a way where he said, I want you to take what you're doing on campus and do it in your church. Because what we found out was that within a 3-mile radius of our church building, there were over 3,000 internationals living there. And if you walked in the door of our church, you would think it was only a white population that lived close to our church building. So God said, I want those people to be a part of this. And so that's kind of my story of, I know it's not really a story because I left out all the good parts, but Bob, you wanted to share?
Yeah. My name is Bob Galey. I'm from the University of Florida, Christian Campus House. And I was a short-term mission trip junkie since 1991. And then when I got to the University of Florida in 1999 and began to get familiar with our campus, which is 50,000-plus students, I came to realize that we had thousands of international students. Now we have over 6,000 international students from 130-plus countries. And so it was actually when I was in Northeast China visiting C.Y. Kim's ministry, I was at the language school, and a young man was leading an English corner on a Friday night. And I sat there and I thought, wow, this is something I could do, you know, but I don't have to come to China to do it. I can do it on our campus. And so I started that thinking, but I shared yesterday that, you know, things have to be really concrete for me. So that was extremely abstract. And so I get a little bit frustrated and I don't move quickly when things are a little bit abstract. So God has to kind of orchestrate a lot of stuff, and it's really awesome that he does. So he knew my heart, he knew my desire, and so it was actually here. When ICOM was last year, or National Conference, Missionary Conference, whatever it was called, that I was walking into Rupp Arena, I looked to the left and I saw China Outreach Ministries. And I thought, I should walk over there. And immediately when I walked over there, the guy looked at my name tag and he said, you know, we have a new couple in Gainesville. And I said, awesome. So that led to me contacting them. And they were excited because they were not a student organization, but they had a huge desire to reach Chinese students in Gainesville. We were a student organization, so we had access to the campus. And they wanted access to the campus. So God just put it together that a student organization would combine with an organization that was targeting Chinese at the time, put us together so we could start English Corner. And so it was really awesome how God worked all that out, and it's been amazing to see. So my heart came from being a mission junkie and then a short-term mission trip junkie and landing on a university campus with so many international students, and then God orchestrated what we're experiencing today, and it's really cool.
You want to go? Or do you want me to? I'm going to go ahead and pass them.
I pass them.
So you want to pass those out?
Okay, that's cool. Well, let me keep on then.
Okay,
awesome. Because I want you to get in here. So anyway, I wanted to just share, like I said, you know, for me, and maybe you're not like I am, but the university campus was so large, and even with so many international students running around, it was just, you know, like, what in the world do we do here? How do we even make a headway? How do we get started? How do we even get audience with one person? And so after meeting at the time, Tom and Phyllis, and then talking with Greg, I began to get some more ideas on how we can get this English Corner started. And so so I put this down on paper, and because it might help you if you're wondering about how in the world to get this thing started, you know. And I can run through this very quick. My contact information's here in case you want to chat more, but I want to give plenty of time for Keller as well, because I'm at the university, but at a campus ministry, but we do utilize the local church in some way. So you'll see how that plays out. When it comes down to motivation, like I said, I was a short-term mission trip junkie, so the desire to reach the nations was there. Huge motivation is Scripture. We don't have to really talk about that much, but you go, even the few scriptures from Isaiah listed showed that God's all-inclusive. Even then, through Isaiah, he's saying, I want to make you a light to the Gentiles. Then, obviously, with the Great Commission, and then what I call the Great Directive in Acts 1:8. You know, Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. That's awesome. The Great Directive in Acts 1:8, where it's, you'll be my witnesses, my testifiers in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the world. So Scripture, I mean, God's very heart is for the nations. God's heart is for the nations. So it was a desire of mine, and God had gifted me in many ways to be able to connect with international students. So the motivation through Scripture is there for all of us. What's your desire? What's your giftedness? Just take it and run with it. You know, I'm the poster child for you don't have to be a professional to do this. And that's what I think is cool. You know, I'm kind of the everyman who just said, hey, God, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to need your help because I don't know how to do this. And he's done amazing things. So I think that brings hope. You know, so many times we'll be in places and we'll see those people who are those professionals. And we go, oh, yeah, they can do it, but I could never do that. I'm the poster child for you can do it if it's your heart's desire. And trust me, if it's your heart's desire and you put it before the feet of God and just say, I want to go for this, and I need those open doors. We had a young lady share earlier in the previous session that was awesome about how just putting it before God and just saying, I don't know how to do this, but you do. So please, 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 please make this happen. And he did. So, but if you're on campus or you're close to a campus, very quickly, you need to do your homework because you need to find out if there are opportunities for English to be taught or conversed with international students. You'll want to find that out because you really don't want to duplicate the process. I mean, you want to add to the process, but not duplicate it. So you want to find out who's doing what and when and where. That's what we did. And so now at the University of Florida in Gainesville, you can find IF, International Friendship, teaching on a Monday night. You'll find us offering English Corner Tuesdays 2 to 4, Thursdays 6 to 8. You'll find a Baptist church up the road doing Wednesdays and Fridays. So it's really cool because our international students, and that's not even talking about the ESOL classes. And the cool thing is, and I didn't even research this, but this is another awesome thing that God has worked out. All the ESOL classes meet before our conversational English class. So we actually have students going to learn English as a second language and leaving that class to come speak conversational English. So you really want to do your homework. And I would love to say that all of this that I'm telling you is what I did exactly. But once again, I'm the poster child for just like, you know, hey, let's figure out how to do this and go for it. And now I know, as God put all this in place, that's the thing to do, is to do your homework and find out who's doing what, where, and when, and where are the gaps that need to be filled. Just to give them more opportunities, because English students want international students want lots of opportunities to work on their conversational English. Because one thing is, they just don't feel confident. They don't feel confident, and that leads to insecurity. And so it was really awesome in our small group last week. Ling, she looked at me and she said, you know, because of English Corner, I now feel confident to have a conversation. And it's not just in her lab or with her peers, but it's outside of all that. It's in the community. It's in a restaurant. It's wherever. She's just more confident. And that makes them feel more at home, more a part of what's happening in our culture while they are here. So do your homework. If you're going to be involved at the university, you want to find out where the International Center is, and you want to find out who is the director. When I met Deborah over at our International Center, the director, we became great friends, and I was excited to find that she had a faith background. That was really awesome, and we've become just wonderful friends, and she's a huge cheerleader for what we're doing at English Corner, and she makes it available. Like I said, what English learning or English conversation opportunities are offered already? What gaps are not being filled? So you wanna do your homework, and then as you lay the groundwork, once you do your homework and you find out, you know, where you want to go with this, you want to start to lay the groundwork, and that's, you know, recruiting staff. And what I mean by staff is you want to find people who have a heart for internationals and would love to invest an hour or two in having conversation with them. So you recruit your staff, find out what day and time and location, decide on your format. What's your format going to look like? For us, our format is when students come into our campus house, we have a real relaxed cafe, so they come in, there's snacks available, there's music going, and we encourage them to meet up with another student from another country and just chat. And that's about 20 minutes or so. So that's awesome, and then we'll move into a large group time, we'll focus on a topic, and then we'll move into our small group sessions. And that's where our volunteers are priceless, because it's the more volunteers you have, the more small groups you can have. And the more small groups you can have, the more opportunities for those conversations that you want to happen to happen. So you want to decide on your format. What are going to be your materials? And, you know, Keller's probably going to talk about some materials they've used that are awesome, and they are. I just went on Google and just started looking for all types of things. And then with Phyllis having a teaching background in China, we chatted. And so we just kind of focus on just a major topic that's relevant and in our large group setting. And it might deal with idioms. It might deal with, like I said, something that's happening, obviously, after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. That was extremely relevant to us in Gainesville, Florida. And so that was something we had to address and talk about in a large group setting, just to see where our students were. And then from the large group setting, going into small groups and breaking it down. Now, once we go to small groups, we give options to our small group leaders to run with the topic that we've been talking about, or see where the students are and if there are other topics. I also love to address situations that they're dealing with just in speaking English. You know, what have been some issues you've had this last week? What have been some problems? You know, what are you curious about? We love to give them that opportunity. And we usually have about an hour for our small group time. And it's really cool to have three or four or five students from many different countries just having that conversation. Sometimes it turns into them really getting to know each other. And that's really awesome. It's been great to see our Chinese and Japanese students become friends. And it has to take place at our English corner. And that's really awesome. So it's really easy. If you go on Google and you put in English corner, English conversation club, ESO, whatever, you'll find all kinds of materials. You'll find all kinds of ideas. You'll find huge lists of topics. And then you just pick and choose what you're looking for. You advertise and you pray, and then when it's time to start your English corner, obviously I talked about our environment. You create the environment. We always welcome students as they're coming in. They come in, they'll do a name tag with their name and their country. We have a simple registration form so we can add them to an email list. We let them know based upon what country they're from. Other opportunities, if their country allows Facebook, we have our own Facebook page for English Corner. So they're able to be involved with that. If they're from China, we have a QQ group called Good Good Study, which they laugh every time they hear it because it's a very popular phrase, DD up, good, very popular phrase in China. So they laugh, but they love it. And so we're able to keep everybody in the know. Once they're on our email list or their QQ or Facebook, we're able to keep them in the know as to what's happening and when. And so then once, we provide simple snacks, and you can involve, we involve local alumni and church to help with simple snacks. And so they're enjoying snacks, they're enjoying conversation, they're enjoying the large group, then they have the opportunity in small group setting. And then we love to do follow-up, and follow-up is basically just being involved with them and in their lives outside of class. We don't just target those 4 hours a week to be their friend. Because really, when you set out to do international ministry, you're setting out to be involved in someone's life and to be their friend. And if they have issues with speaking English, you're going to know that they're going to have issues that come along with not being able to speak English that deal with their everyday lives, whether it's talking with the local utility company or an insurance company or whatever. And so oftentimes they're going to be calling upon your friendship to help them in certain situations. When it's time to move, if you have a truck, you become an extremely valuable friend and asset to them. One time we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies because one of my Chinese guys said, oh, I need to move to another apartment. And then as we're loading them up, he said, you know, my friends also need to move to another apartment. And so, yeah, it was quite interesting. So, but it's awesome. It's all about doing life and sharing faith. And as you're doing life, as you're showing it's real and genuine and they're not a project, all of a sudden open doors for sharing faith. It's been awesome to see 2 to 3 to 4 international students baptized every year. And I would say it's all through English Corner, but actually God uses, really he uses a village in our situation. English Corner is very valuable to forming those relationships, but we also have students involved with our friends at English Corner who are involved in a international class out at a Baptist church, and then even a few that will go to international friendship. So it kind of takes a village, but we're all having opportunities to pour into their lives and to share about Christ. And it's awesome to see that. It's really cool right now with our Discovery Bible study that we're offering on Sunday nights at our campus house. We've had anywhere from 3 to 9 international students coming, and we're just taking a scripture each week and we're looking at it. And very simply, we read it, we learn vocabulary, but then we look for what observations, what discoveries are here to be made in this passage. What does this teach us about God? What does it teach us about man? What does it teach us about life? And even though the last session we had, there was only like 3 students, one was from China, one was from Japan, and one was a young lady from Iran. And how awesome to talk through the scriptures and talk about God's covenant with Noah, with them, and just answer questions. And so it's really, really cool. And we love it. We look for opportunities to celebrate what's going on in their cultures, Mid-Autumn Festival, Spring Festival in China. Look for those opportunities. And then we love for them to educate us, to teach us. So we see a lot of potential, a lot of opportunities. We're just, even though we've been doing English Corner for about 4 to 5 years now, we feel like we're just barely even touching the surface. It was awesome this last Sunday night. We invited all our ministry, which is our undergrads and our international side, and to a Thanksgiving dinner. And Marv and Phyllis were there to give a Thanksgiving presentation. And one of our students was leading us in a devotion on thankfulness. But we had over 100 international students come out. And the whole night was about just loving on them, just talking about being thankful and how God is a part of our lives. And, I mean, that's just amazing and awesome. So we're excited about what God's doing. And like I said, we're just barely touching the surface. And it is a little bit challenging for me as a campus minister. I was talking with Bill yesterday, and they're looking at maybe a full-time person, and that's ideal. You know, if you're at a campus ministry, that's ideal because it does take a lot of time, and so it would be awesome to have that. But in our setting, you know, I'm kind of the guy, and fortunately we have a staff, but then I also have to focus on our undergrad ministry and what we're doing there with the homeless and other things. But one of the neat things is as we serve the homeless within our ministry each and every week, international students are joining in to serve the homeless. And that's extremely cool. And actually Thursday mornings, we go really early at 7:30 in the morning, and it'll be 2 or 3 of the international students who'll go with me to Publix and pick up breads and sweets and head out to Tent City. So it's really cool, really cool. So any questions on my side regarding what I've said? If not, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Keller.
How much time did you say you spend on
it? Well, okay, let's How you doing, man? So let's narrow that down. Now, do you mean?
Well, you say you spent about 20 minutes for the.
Okay, gotcha. So. Yeah. So what we'll do is the whole block will be a little over 2 hours, and so yeah, they'll come in and have the hangout time, and then we'll call them to a large group, and that'll probably be 30 minutes or so in the large group, 30 to 40. Then we give them a little break. You know, if you didn't get a chance to get snacks, go ahead and do that. You know, the restrooms are over there. And before that, though, Phyllis is generally leading the large group, so she'll, you know, if we're going to have six small groups, she'll just count them off. And we do the name tag with the country just so we can be very strategic in dividing those up, because we're kind of Chinese heavy, which nothing wrong with that right now, but they'll all kind of sit together, and if you don't strategically divide them up, then you can end up with a whole bunch in one group. So we'll go, we'll push the 2 hours, but they're not generally ready to leave. So one of the neat things through our English corner is it's not just a class or an opportunity for them to work on their English, but it's an opportunity for them to develop like a family. And that's what they say. And that's kind of the model of our campus ministry, and that's flowed over into English Corner, is they feel like a family. Yes? We go over to the International Center, and I take a flyer. And that's a good thing. I'm glad you asked that question, because if you're going to go over to the International Center, you want to meet the director, know the director, and you want to know exactly how to word things. Because our initial English Corner flyer just said, you know, free conversational English, and gave the location, dates, times. But we didn't necessarily put Christian Campus House on there. That was the first year. The second year, when I went back, Deborah said, she said, there's one thing with the flyer you need to change. You need to put who you are. And so it's good to know that person, because you want to be on the good side of the relationship with the university. If you're going to the university, the last thing you want to do is get on the wrong side. If you get on the right side and become friends, like I said, Deborah has a faith background anyway, so she becomes a cheerleader for us, and they have no trouble. We're listed in all their opportunities, and they have no trouble recommending us highly. But we'll take flyers over there. There's so much more that can be done that we haven't done, but if we wanted to, as a student organization, we can go set up a table on campus and put up a display and put out materials. Yes?
As far as these conversation corners, are you kind of low-keying the Christian aspect at first and talking about just news and themes and situations, blah, blah, blah? Or do you go straight into materials that maybe, hey, we're going to teach English from the Bible and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we're more low-key. But we always end up in our conversations. You know, it's amazing talking about Halloween. You know, we start out talking about Halloween, and next thing you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, we move from spirits and evil and whatever to, you know, so that's the way we do it. But obviously, they know they're coming to the Christian Campus House. They know when we have our activities, whether it's a Thanksgiving dinner or like when we're having our Christmas dinner, we're going to finish up the semester out at the Ocean Buffet. Even though we'll be out at the Ocean Buffet, we'll all be together, and they know that we'll have a prayer before we just tell them very simply we like to talk to God before we eat. Or if we're heading on a day trip to St. Augustine, we want to talk to God and just ask him to be with us as we travel and enjoy our time together. And we do a lot of those things. So we like to involve them in the cultural activities of our university, introducing them to the homecoming parade and tailgating and homecoming activities. Or we took, I think, 77 to the University of Florida North Texas State football game. That was quite exciting because most of the game was spent, and we had done some preliminary stuff with them, but most of the game spent on, you know, what was that? What just happened? You know, why did he do that? What's that yellow flag? Why is that guy throwing that? We had a blast, though. But we were always, you know, we're always directing them. Now, through the English Corner, that's where we have opened the door for our Discovery Bible Study. And obviously, and we're straight up about that. We invite them to come to our Sunday night. We tell them we're going to sing Bible-based songs. We're going to eat snacks. And we're going to have, I call it with them, I call it an intro to the Bible study. And so, you know, we don't want to blindside them. And that's why the international office wanted to have a great relationship, not only with us, but with anybody who does ministry, because they feel responsible for their international family and who's involved with their international family. And the last thing they want is for them to feel blindsided, like someone duped them. Which happened probably years ago at the University of Florida. All the students were invited to a Thanksgiving dinner, and they kind of got ambushed with the gospel without knowing that that was going to happen, and that comes back on her. And so we're very straightforward with everything. So just real quick, I want to introduce you to a young man who came here at least last year, if not the years before, and started to, you know, has had a heart for international students, and Greg and Cindy got me in touch with him, and we sat down over coffee and chatted about a lot of this stuff. And Gabe, can you do just real quick 2 minutes on what's happened just because of your heart and desire and motivation? Yeah. This is Gabe, and he's from down in, I guess, Merritt Island, right?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I love missions. I love the people that are lost, and I think God has provided an opportunity, and international student ministry is one of those opportunities. And coming to ICOM last year, I got to thinking, I'm so focused on trying to reach people I can't right now, I need to be focusing on the people that God has put in front of me right now. And so that's kind of the passion I began to develop for this ministry. And I started talking to Bob, and he was telling me just some of the ways that I can be active. And so I went online, some of the universities around me, and I looked up campus ministries for this university. And then I would look at what they're doing, and I would kind of just show up. There's a school right about 45 minutes away. I drove there. They have this dinner where you just have dinner with international students and students from around the school. And I just sat next to the international students and began talking to them. And I would develop friendships. And one of the guys from Iran I'm talking to right now, he wanted to read the Bible, and first time he ever read the Bible, and he was like, wow, I've never read a book that is like your religion. And just hearing those words is so motivating, because it's like, how many other people are in our area that will say that, but we're not engaging? And so I just think that campus ministry, especially with international students, is something that God wants us to grab, and I think we can do it, and I think these guys here are giving some great things, and I just hope that everyone here is really listening and will utilize and see how God is telling us and giving us opportunities. Thank you.
Okay, if anybody wants to chat later, that's awesome. But Keller is doing some just amazing stuff within the church. He's done amazing stuff within campus ministry, but he's doing some awesome stuff within the church and utilizing the church and the folks to reach the international students that live around them. We tap into the church through the international class that I mentioned to get volunteers, but you guys are in there all the time. Awesome.
Go for it, brother.
So just real quick on reaching out to international students. Like, this is super. I didn't have that. We kind of inherited when we went to the University of Southern Indiana, the conversation club that we do. But some things that I've kind of figured out that I thought might be helpful real quick. One is if you're a staff person with a campus ministry, let the students do the ministry. Because what I found was the first semester that we were there, we had no clue how to meet international students. So I saw four international students standing outside of the bathroom, and I walked up and just asked a really stupid question. I said, "Excuse me, are you international students?" And their eyes lit up and their smiles got big, and they said, "Yes, how did you know?" But two of those students were Malaysian, and every semester our university has two Malaysian students. And so for five semesters now, every time the two new Malaysian students come, they're looking for us, because their friends said, when you get there, no matter what you do, find these people. And if you do, you'll have a great semester. So letting the students do it, but also find ways to involve other people. Like we do at Thanksgiving dinner. And so the first year we were there, we asked people from our local church to provide the meal. Now we ask people from the local church to cook and bring it. And then we say, hey, would you be willing for your small group to stay and help serve? That frees us up to be able to do what we do. And then they get to be right there in the midst of it, interacting, talking. And so they've been put in a place where they've been mobilized now to interact with international students. So we moved to Evansville 2.5 years ago, and our strategic outreach pastor, he was the global outreach pastor at the time, I said, how do I get a seat at your table? And he said, well, here's a couple different options. And one of them, he said, I'm looking for somebody to lead an outreach to Saudis in the Evansville area. And I said, well, I'm uncomfortable with limiting myself to just one people group. A month later, he said, hey, I'm going to Colorado to a seminar on reaching out to Saudis. I said, I will go with you, but I'm not comfortable. I had to keep telling him. And so what we came up with was I lead a task force at our church called the Reach Internationals Task Force. And so what we want to do is mobilize our church members to engaging the internationals around us. So we want to train them. We want to provide training for the people in our church to do that. But then one of the things was we want to engage people in helping to learn English. And I said, I am not the person for this. I don't want to teach. I don't want to teach my own children English because I don't do that well. And he said, you just be the leader and mobilize people. So we set this thing up. I mean, this is great. The way you would do it on a campus and the way you would do it in a church are very similar, except you don't have to go through that administrative kind of stuff. But so then it came time to do it, and I said, well, I don't want to be there. I just want to empower them to be there. He said, well, you're the leader, So you probably need to be there. And so every week I'm at this thing. And so what we do, we decided to use a curriculum called Friend Speak, which is a part of the Let's Start Talking ministry. They have a booth here. But they've created a workbook that is very simple. Anybody can do that. If you can read and you can speak English, you can do this. Because I can do it. And so what they've done is they've taken different books of the Bible and put them into a workbook. Okay? And so like the first lesson is Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. And the next lesson is chapter 1, 26 to 38. But it goes through the whole gospel of Luke. And so we did all the stuff. We advertised. We put everything out there. But honestly, the people that come, it's word of mouth. And so we had a Japanese-American lady working in our church. And she reached out to the Toyota plant about 45 minutes north of us. And the first week, we had two Japanese ladies come. We had other people too, but then the next week, we had four Japanese ladies come. Last week, we had a dozen Japanese ladies show up at our church. We also have other people. We're working, they're bringing refugees into Evansville, and so we've got an outreach there to help people know about it. We advertise in different restaurants and markets and things like that, but we've got this big group of Japanese ladies, and they come in to the church building, and they have huge smiles on their faces because they see there's life in this place. And there's life in the people that we're working with. And they're people just like you. And the thing is, with this, we don't have students and teachers. We have readers and workers. And so now that intimidation of, oh, I have to teach English to somebody, it's not ESL. Like, it's somebody has to be able to read somewhat in order to do this, but it's allowing people from our church, and it's allowing internationals in our community to build friendships. And one of the coolest things that happened, like the third or fourth lesson, is about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. So every time somebody gets there, I started noticing that they would get up and leave. They would get up and leave the room. And so I decided one week I was going to, where are they going? Well, they would go in the worship center because they would get to baptize and they'd be like, what is this word? Baptize. And they'd try to tell them. And they'd be like, I don't understand, baptize. And they'd say, oh, okay, come here. And they'd take them in the worship center, and they'd show them the baptistry. And they'd go, oh, okay. And they got the idea, like, oh, okay, something's happening and people are going underwater, but I don't understand. And so I got this great idea. And a couple Japanese ladies walked back in one night. I said, let me show you something. And we had a video for our ministry that at the end of it, it had three baptisms. And so I pulled out my phone. I said, let me show you this. And I showed them 15 seconds of an American girl being baptized, followed by a Japanese guy being baptized, followed by a South Korean guy being baptized. And all of a sudden it clicked. And they were like, oh, baptize, But not only were they seeing that this is something we do in the church, they were seeing, he's from my country. And we don't have church, but he follows Jesus. And so he's being baptized. He's from another country, and he's being baptized. So it's not just us. And so this has worked out well for us, but it's also put us in a place where lots of other people in the church are seeing internationals come into our church every Monday night while they're there for other small groups or support groups. They're seeing people that they're not used to walking into the church. And it's really simple, and they come and train you, and they do all the work for you, and then they hand you workbooks, and you pass them out, and everybody gets their own workbook. But then they've also got the gospel right there in their hand when they leave, and they come back every week. And they're asking questions, and they're wanting to know. And like I said, if I can do this, I promise you can do this. And that's the way that we have decided at our church to use to engage internationals. We also do other things too, like we prayer walk the neighborhoods around our church building. I'm trying to think. There are other things that we have planned for the future, but we haven't put them into action yet. So any questions about what you can do, like in your church? Yes, yes, Bill.
So how are you, Bob, or even Greg, even though you're up front and you've made relationships with the international centers on campus, with that material specifically, are you aware of any issues that have come up with international students going back to the university and this is what they're using? I mean, has there been anything that has happened like that as far as the let's start talking?
We don't use this in conversation club.
Okay.
In our conversation club, very much like theirs, it's all conversational stuff. We do not hide the fact that we are Christians. Everybody, if they don't know by the first time they've come to Conversation Club, they know before the second time because we've started having conversations on campus with them about Jesus. This is what we use at our church to reach out to internationals in the community.
Yeah. I know that there was a gentleman yesterday, I didn't know if any campuses were using that material and if there's any negativity from
it. We use it at the University of Missouri, and we have about 100 students every week that are using this. We have simple guidelines that we give people that help them, and we've had very few students refuse to study it, and we had no repercussions at all using that.
Yeah, I mentioned at the University of Florida with international friendship and use of it. They teach from the Bible, and so I don't know any repercussions. I think if a student doesn't like it, they just don't.
Yeah, and you know, we say, look, this is what we do. We're a Christian organization. If you don't accept it, we're still your friend. We still love you. But we want you to see our standpoint, where we're coming from.
In 6 years, I've only had two students who, after a year, stopped studying because they had to make a choice. And tradition and family.
One of the great things about using churches is the loss of the people that we have are not students. They are scholars that many of them already have their PhDs. And so we are able to match them up sometimes with people that are in their own field